You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
That's a great question. I do a bit of freelance journalism like this. Usually what happens is I'll read something that will strike emotion or get me interested in a rebuttal, basically just something that angers me, usually whether it's, you know, vaccines or, you know, something, misinformation about the health benefits of a certain, basically anything out there that is erroneous scientifically, specifically here with climate change, where I read this opinion piece by Peter Williams, and that just got me to dig a little bit deeper. I also write things if I just generally don't know anything about it, because I like to research the peer-reviewed literature, see what science knows at this point, and just kind of go from there.
And is that, I guess, in a way, also trying to communicate it differently, right? Because not everybody can go and read peer-reviewed science literature all the time.
That's another issue with the peer-reviewed literature, is a lot of it is behind a paywall. So it's publicly funded by taxpayers, yet taxpayers don't have access to it. And even if they do, you know, a lot of times people aren't going to want to read super dry 5-10 page papers that, you know, they're not experts in. So what we do need is scientists to do a better job of communicating what they do and being able to break it down in a readable format for the public.
Let's go back to this article. So the opinion piece you saw was somebody challenging people to say what the supposed climate expert was saying was wrong.
That is correct. So Peter Williams challenged the readers to say, you know, tell me this Dr. Willie Soon is wrong. And so I opened up my story saying, well, with all due respect, he has no idea what he's talking about.
Okay. So who is Willie Soon?
He is, I don't really like to talk about these people that I guess I've never met, but he is a scientist at the Smithsonian Institute, which has a partnership with Harvard. He does not work for Harvard. He is not an astrophysicist, but he has published a few, I guess, climate-related papers, and in these papers, he has, I guess, not disclosed his funding sources, which is a breach of scientific integrity. And a lot of these journals actually say it in their ethical guidelines that you're required to, you know, disclose any sort of conflicts of interest or where your funding is coming from, because that's an important part of science, is, you know, if there's any perceived bias.
So there's, to me, not a science expert, not a climate expert, there's like a chain of issues here. Firstly, he's published at all, right? When you say that he may not necessarily be an expert on certain matters. Two, he doesn't disclose the funding. Three, at the end of that kind of chain of events, you get people in the news taking this information as though it's gospel.
Correct. Basically, when it comes to scientific consensus, you don't look at the opinion of one person. And one single paper doesn't mean an absolute certainty. So what you need to do is look at the whole collection of the literature and, you know, break that down to understand what exactly scientists think on a given topic. Yet, what people will do is, instead of overall using their logic to break down our current understanding, they will oftentimes just read or use something that validates their own opinions, which is dangerous and can actually, you know, propagate misinformation.
Using logic, is this an issue of the kind of age we're in, where people don't have time to read lots of things or don't necessarily think critically about the information we're being given? There's a climate of, what do you call it, fake news, this sort of thing. Is that the issue we're talking about?
That certainly contributes. You mentioned, you know, today's society and our access to information. We have heaps of different ways to do that now than we did in the past. For instance, you know, social media, for instance, is a way that a lot of people get their information, and that those sources are probably lowest on any sort of ranking of credibility. And that's an issue. What compounds that issue is that a lot of these social media, like Facebook, for instance, will try to gear or tailor information towards your interest to keep you clicking on their website or their app or whatever. And that is also an issue for, you know, with climate denial, is that they're just going to keep funneling in the kind of information that you want to hear and encapsulating yourself in a bubble and not really becoming open-minded or even exposed to different viewpoints.
Okay, climate denial. This is the very small group of people that claim there is sort of little or no person-made climate change, right? This is the idea that it's not our fault.
Right. So there are a lot of different justifications people use that basically, you know, climate has already been changing. It's been changing for millennia. Why do, where do people come in? And then there's other, you know, I guess, analysis in quotation marks that, you know, the sun is driving the climate entirely, that humans could never have an impact. The idea here is that those are not based on the science that we currently know. And that is something that people like to propagate for whatever reason. There has been actual studies that have shown that a lot of the funding for these deniers have come from the fossil fuel industry because, of course, they have a bottom line. They have interest.
20, 30 years ago, we might not have had that information, right? Like, it might have still been something that we could have questioned or whenever. You know, there was a point in time where we wouldn't have known for sure.
I would say, yes, there was less certainty.
And now there is much more work going into this, much more peer-reviewed literature, like you're saying, much more certainty. So at what point, because there's always an element of uncertainty, like you say in the article, there's this, it's science, you're doing experiments, you're trying to come to a conclusion, but there's elements where you don't know certain things. At what point can you say, okay, we know?
So that is something that the International Panel on Climate Change that tries to assess every 4 years. They try to actually quantitate and put a figure on our certainty of humans' impact. And I think with the latest report, they had something like 95% certainty that just the warming in the last 50 years alone was because of human influence. And I'd also like to mention, as we were talking about, you know, the level of certainty and when did we first understand that greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide could influence climate? Well, back at the turn of the 20th century in like 1901, Nobel Prize winner Svante Arrhenius actually did like a back of an envelope calculation that showed that if we increase CO2, we're going to warm the climate. And this was way before anyone had even, you know, considered the impact of from the fossil fuel industry or any sort of other non-scientific interests were weighed. So this is something humans
100 years ago
humans have known over 100 years.
So why are we still talking about this? Why is this still an issue that people are denying?
Well, it comes down to a lot of factors, and that is information. What do people know? How do they get their sources of information? And then where are those sources coming from? Basically, what it comes down to is you got to follow the money and who are funding these climate deniers and what are their interests.
So that's a big thing. That's basically what you're saying in this article, is that actually we need to know who is talking and why. What else can we do? What can the sort of everyday person do to find out more, to understand better, so that we can take action?
Basically, you want to find the most credible sources you can. So looking at something on Facebook or your Instagram or talking to, you know, your mates probably aren't going to be the best sources. You need to recognize what is legitimate, and that's usually something that cites the peer-reviewed literature. So a primary source as well as a trusted conveyor of that information as well. So usually that'll be someone that has a PhD or reports on this type of science initiatives.
Is there anything else you wanted to add?
That's mostly what the article is about. There's a few other parts in there, but just be open-minded, I think, is the take-home conclusion. If you come across information you disagree with, don't immediately refute it without fact-checking it first.
Does it go both ways, though, as well? Like, because if somebody who is fairly certain that climate change is happening, for example, and then you hear this Willie Soon guy on the radio or somebody talking about him on the radio, and there's this possibility that, oh, maybe it isn't us.
So that's exactly what scientists do. If you have information that refutes us, like, we're all about it. Like, we want to read it because that's interesting to us. We want to learn and we want to challenge our understanding of the world. So absolutely, if Willie Soon reads a paper or publishes a paper, I'm going to go read it to understand what his methodology was, what his conclusions were, and how credible the source is. So yes, scientists are always looking for people to challenge them. That's part of the job.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.